really is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, chapter 51, verse 1. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and from the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. And for I call him alone, and bless him, and greet him. For the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places. He will make her a wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For the Lord will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as the light of the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth. My arms will judge the peoples, and the coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. Lift up their eyes to the heavens, and look on the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke, and the earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. Listen to me who know righteousness, you people whose heart is in my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. My righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Verses 13 to 20. Peter's confession of Christ. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The word of prayer. Father, thank you that we can come together to consider your word this morning. We ask that it may indeed be life to us, and that we may leave this place and ponder upon what you're wanting to say to us, so that we can live for you more closely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As probably most of you may be aware, Jennifer Gill and I are siblings, and we have the great advantage of being brought up in a wonderful godly family, and indeed right from the very earliest days to hear the word of God, know about Jesus. And I remember when we were very young we went to the cruet. It was nothing to do with pepper and salt, but it was all to do with being a bit too young to go to crusader classes. And there we would learn little songs like I Want to Be a Sunbeam, a Sunbeam for Jesus. Probably some of you remember that one. And I really felt we'd arrived when our mother brought a Sunbeam pulpit. But One of the songs that we've sung, I think probably it may have been in Crusade a little later, and these are good songs because they do help us to, they come back to mind even in our elderly years. And one of them was based on the last few verses from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says that the wise man builds his house on the rock. And the song, I won't sing it, but it's build on the rock that ever stands. Oh, build on the rock and not upon the sand. You will not fear the storm or the earthquake shock. You're safe forevermore if you build on the rock. It was always a favorite, I think particularly because we like to be able to make a good clapping noise when the earthquake came along. And it has a truth here, doesn't it? Building on the rock that ever stands. And of course we know that the rock is none other than Jesus himself. Jesus is the one who is indeed who carries us through on every occasion. And the readings that we have today are all very much to do with building on the rock. And I want to look at this in the past, the present, and the future. As far as the past is concerned, in Isaiah chapter 51, we read this: listen to the one to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who gave you birth. When I called him, he was only one man, and I blessed him and made him many. It is always a good thing to be able to look back and to give thanks to God for all that he has done, both in our own lives and also in the much wider situation in the world, and indeed including in his purposes. As far as the people of Israel are concerned, they were to look back. They were to look back on their origins. They were to look back to Abraham and Sarah. They were to recognize that they were part of this great rock out of which God had made them, and that they were part of something much bigger than themselves. And as far as you and I are concerned, it's good to be able to look back and to see all the people who have gone before. I'm sure we all know Hebrews chapter 11, the great parade of those who are men and women of faith, who in all sorts of different ways did great miracles and wonders. And even those who got sawn in two were still people of faith. People who trusted God no matter what the outcome might be. Look to the rock from which you are hewn. Recall all that God has accomplished. And not only looking back in the Bible, but also in our own looking through Christian history. All has taken place over the centuries. This past week we were commemorating at morning prayer one morning both Bernard of Clairvaux and also the Booths, William and Catherine Booth of the Salvation Army. A contrasting pair, if ever there were. Yet they're all people who are part of the great company of those who've gone before, who built their lives upon a rock, and who have been soldiers for Jesus in different ways. And we need to encourage ourselves by looking back and seeing where it is that we have come from, all that has gone before. And indeed, in Hebrews chapter 12, it speaks about that great company of witnesses already in heaven, who, as it were, are there to cheer us on and to encourage us as we go on our work day by day. So let's look back to the rock from which we come. But secondly, we need to recognize what is happening today, what God is doing in our own lives, what he's doing in the world now, what he calls you and me to do. And we're reminded that the wise man is the one who builds his house on the rock. He is the person, and she is the person who hears the word of Jesus and does them. The one who builds on the sand without a firm foundation is the one who hears the word but does not put it into practice. That's the difference. And so inevitably the word of God comes to you and me today with something of a challenge. We're all people who in one way or another hear the words of Jesus. But are we putting them into practice? Building on the rock means hearing and doing. And Jesus makes it absolutely clear. Now, part of that is actually getting it right as to who Jesus really is. And when he went with those disciples to Caesarea Philippi, or close to Caesarea Philippi, he asked that question, who do people say that I am? And they'd be keeping their ear to the ground a bit, and they came up with some of the answers, what people have been saying. And Jesus said, who do you say I am? And Peter, who so often was the spokesperson for the group of disciples, said, you are the Messiah. I must confess, I do prefer the title Messiah rather than Christ. Excuse me for saying that, but I do. It means exactly the same thing. One happens to be Hebrew and the other happens to be Greek. So it doesn't matter a great deal. But I always think that the word Christ is sometimes used in a flippant sort of way by so many people. Messiah really means the anointed one. That's what it means in Hebrew. Just as much as Christ means anointed one in Greek. But Jesus is the Messiah, the one who is sent by God, the one who is anointed by God in order to achieve a purpose that nobody else possibly could. And indeed, we take this theme up in the passage that we have in Isaiah chapter 51, where the prophet says, listen to me, my people, hear me, my nation, instruction will go out from me, my justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily, my salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. There's only one person that could possibly be referred to here, namely the Messiah, the one who was to come, the one whom God would send, the one who would bring his righteousness, his salvation, his justice. There was no other. And it would not just be for his special people, the children of Israel, but that it would be for the nations, for all the world. Of course, it took the disciples some time to recognize who Jesus really was. They had to get to know him, to understand some of his teaching, the works that he did. And then they started to realize. And Peter said, you are the Messiah. And that has great implications, because if we really know that Jesus is Messiah, that he is Lord, then no one else is going to be able to come anywhere near. He alone is the Lord. There is no other. And so it is that we accept the Lordship of Jesus. And Jesus as Lord gives us both his word and the power to undertake and to complete and to obey his word, so that we ourselves can build on a foundation. And as Paul writes, there is no other foundation that is laid other than the one that has been given, Jesus Christ himself. And elsewhere Paul says, in writing to the Ephesians, that the apostles and prophets are the foundation, with Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The Lord Jesus is there as the one who forms the very heart of that foundation, but also included are those apostles and prophets. There are the people who have been commissioned by God for that purpose, including and especially, of course, Peter. Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and nothing is going to come against it. And by church, of course, he's not thinking of any sort of buildings or magnificent or small or whatever they might be. He's talking about the community of people who have been brought into a new relationship through Jesus, the community of his people. That includes you and me. We are built on that foundation. And so, being built on that foundation, we have a commission. It is inevitable. And the challenge comes, I believe, in this passage to you and me, is to what extent are we actually fulfilling the call that we have? Are we building our houses? Are we building the structure of our lives on a firm foundation of hearing God's word and doing it? Or are we kidding ourselves and, in fact, building on sand? Because if so, when the pressure really comes, then that structure is going to fall. And the storms of life approach. What are we going to do? The foundation must be upon the rock. We live in a world, don't we, in which foundations seem very shaky. And the fact that I'm preaching here to you behind a screen and you're all wearing these masks gives a pretty good idea that something rather strange has been happening over the last few months. And if tentatively we are somehow allowed to come back into church buildings and worship in a public sort of way, it's with a certain reticence that we do it, because somehow it's affected all of us. It's affecting society so deeply. It's affecting the whole economy. It's affecting structures everywhere. People's hearts are failing them from fear. Are the children going to be safe when they go back to school in September? All sorts of issues come up like this, which mean that the foundations that seem so secure, or relatively secure, are somehow crumbling away. What about all this climate change, the things like that? Everything that people put their trust in is beginning to look not quite so secure as it did before. But we, brothers and sisters, have a foundation which cannot be shaken. However much society, the world around us might be shaken, we know where our foundation lies. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is Lord. We hear his word and we seek to do it, to obey it. And nothing is going to shake us, whatever that may be. Whether it's health, whether it's bereavement, whether it's some breakdown in relationships or finances, whether it's some tragedy that suddenly occurs, we know that Jesus is there. So we look back to the past to see the rock from which we've been hewn. We realize where our foundation really is. And then thirdly, what about the future? Where do we go from here? Now, it's interesting that Isaiah says something about this as well, because towards the end of this passage that we just read, he says here, verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens, look to the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. Goodness gracious me. COVID's got nothing in it yet. What's going to happen further on in the future? But then it goes on to say, my salvation will last forever, and my righteousness will never fail. Praise the Lord indeed for that. Whatever the disasters in the future may be, however much as what we know will be totally shaken, God's salvation lasts forever. His righteousness never fails. And then as if to underline that, verse 8 says, the moth will eat them up like a garment, the worm will devour them like wool, but my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. You know, we have a message that we can share with people that is a message of hope. A message that says, look, whatever the future may hold, however uncertain it seems, this news about Jesus as Lord and Messiah is one that enables you to build a structure that will not be shaken by anything. This is the hope that we have that we can share with the world today. And I wonder whether maybe very simply through having services being relayed like this, people listening who would never particularly come into a church building, it gives an opportunity for the Word of God to enter into the lives of people who otherwise might never give it a consideration at all. It's interesting. Fairly recently, I think it was through God's channel, you may have heard of, they were setting up in Israel a cable television program called Shelanu. Now, Shelanu means ours, O-U-R-S, belonging to us. And this was an opportunity, it was very professionally done, and it was there in order to enable the people of, it was done in Hebrew, so the people of Israel could actually listen to the good news about their Messiah in Hebrew. But it didn't last very long because there's a very active anti-mission organization among the religious, the ultra-religious, and they managed to put a stop to it. But most of the people it all got to the front page of the news. And so the media were talking about Jesus in a way that they would never have done normally. And people were saying, well, what's all this about? It's called Shelanu, it's ours. Why are we no longer allowed to watch it? And of course, what they're able to do now is put it out digitally, and so everyone can watch it. And all this trouble has actually made the best publicity that it possibly can. New ways of preaching and disseminating the good news about Jesus, the salvation, his righteousness, his justice. Isn't that wonderful? God is not caught out by surprise. It's the world that's caught out by surprise. It's the world that gets worried. Yes, there are going to be changes. Yes, even if it says here the earth will wear out, its inhabitants will die like flies, but my salvation will last forever. That's the rock. Brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity perhaps today like none other to be able to share the reality of what that is all about for today. May God indeed give us encouragement from these readings that we have before us today. They just happen to be the readings from the lectionary. It's wonderful, isn't it, what comes up and how we can find out of there a very relevant message for this very day. So may God bless us, encourage us, inspire us indeed to go out and make sure that our foundation is clear and that what we are building is something that is secure, because we're not only hearing the word, but we are doing. Build on a rock, the rock that ever stands. Build on a rock and not upon the sand. You need not fear the storm or the earthquake shock. Your faith forevermore. If you build on the rock. May God bless us now and encourage us. Amen.